up on KSDP News, a dead body has been discovered in a creek at Captain's Bay. And most humpback whales are coming off the endangered species list. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. Police are investigating after a dead body was discovered Monday in Unalaska's Ruth Rock Creek at the end of Captain's Bay. The Department of Public Safety has identified the man as 46-year-old Greg Cortesema, who was found with significant head injuries by a pair of local hikers. Police say Cortesema worked sporadically in Unalaska over the last 20 years, most recently on the fishing vessel Alaska Trojan. They know Cortesema visited the Norwegian Rat Salon earlier this month, but they're still looking for information about his activities between then and when his body was found. The fur seals on St. Paul Island are one of the most studied marine mammals on the planet, but there are still a lot scientists do not know. For the first time this year, scientists are using a device called Sail Drone to track down more information about the seals. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Zoe Sobel reports the Sail Drones could help solve the mystery of why St. Paul fur seals have been on the decline.
Scientists have been tagging fur seals to monitor their foraging trips since the early 1970s, but this year they've added a new device, the Sail Drone. Ecologist Carrie Kuhn says the unmanned wind and solar-powered contraption can patrol the Bering Sea and measure the amount of available prey.
We haven't had the ability to take a boat out and do these types of large-scale prey surveys during the summer months when we want to know what's going on, and this Sail Drone has just been groundbreaking for us.
Imagine the ocean has a bunch of different grocery stores. In the past, scientists could see which stores the seals were visiting, but they couldn't see what was in them. Scientists can program the Sail Drones to visit the feeding areas fur seals are known to frequent and log how much and what kind of fish are there. The summer months are especially important when fur seal moms try to fatten their pups up for the winter. Different seals have different strategies. This year, Kuhn saw one mother who hunted for 6 days, traveling more than 160 miles north of St. Paul.
We know that when an animal spends a longer period of time at sea, the pup spends a longer period of time fasting on shore, and then its growth rate isn't as high as a female who could return quickly and feed her pup more often.
At the end of the month, Kuhn will return to St. Paul to retrieve the seal tags and weigh and measure the pups. When all the data is in, the team will be able to see where the seals are getting their food and how much there was. Answers, Kuhn says, are made possible by Sail Drones.
We think this is really going to change the way that we do science because we'll be able to do things that we haven't had the ability to do in the past.
Kuhn says this is the first step of a larger project, understanding how northern fur seals respond to changes in the distribution and abundance of fish could explain the mysterious decline of fur seals in the Pribilofs. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced last week that most humpback whales are coming off the endangered species list, but it's a mixed bag for the humpbacks that visit Alaska because some subgroups will remain on the list. Right now, three different humpback populations visit Alaska, and they all fall into different categories. The Hawaii population is delisted. The Mexico population is still labeled as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. And the Western North Pacific humpback, the kind that feeds in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Chain, is still listed as endangered. Marta Namak is an NOAA coordinator for the Endangered Species Act coordinator. She says with the different types of humpbacks,
our Alaska region is going to have to use a proportional approach to decide what population is being affected by different things that may happen, like vessel strikes or fishing gear entanglements.
Namak says fishing gear entanglement is a serious threat to Western North Pacific humpbacks, and that's expected to increase. Meanwhile, the threatened humpbacks from Mexico feed in Southeast Alaska waters, and NOAA says there isn't enough data to indicate a population increase. Angela Soma is the chief of NOAA's Endangered Species Division. She says the agency also looked at the impact of climate change on humpbacks and whether it could affect the overall population in the future.
There certainly are issues to be concerned about, but we found no basis to conclude that potential impacts from climate change contribute significantly to the extinction risk for these populations now or even in the foreseeable future.
Commercial whaling in the 1800s and early 1900s significantly reduced the humpback population. The whales were listed under the Endangered Species Conservation Act in 1970, and later the Endangered Species Act in 1973. While most humpbacks are still endangered, Unalaska has seen a lot of whale activity in recent years, with many pods passing through the bay and even entanglements. That's why Melissa Good wants to train more local people to respond to distressed whales.
The Marine Mammals Training Network has been talking and arranging funding to do a training out here. So I think it is highly likely that we'll either have a training next summer or the summer after.
Good is an agent for the Alaska Sea Grant Program and a level 1 entangled whale responder. Right now, she's the only person on the island trained to approach distressed whales, like the humpback that got stuck in Captain's Bay last month. After spotting the whale, Good used an inflatable boat to get close, take underwater footage, and assess the situation. She found the humpback had a fishing line hooked in its mouth.
Besides being kind of lethargic and lazy, it would try to lift its head and its tail out of the water at the same time, which is not a normal characteristic. It was humping its back a lot, probably because of the weight on its head, so it looked like it was doing some yoga moves.
Good contacted officials at the Nationwide Marine Mammal Stranding Network, and they gave her permission to try cutting the whale loose. But when she got back to the bay, she saw the humpback leap out of the water twice. It had pulled itself free after 4 days. That's the best case scenario, but Good says it doesn't always happen. Neither does getting permission to free a whale fast. Last fall, when another humpback got trapped in Captain's Bay, the network arranged for a full entanglement team to fly out the island. But the responders were delayed by a storm. When they finally arrived, Good says they couldn't even find the whale. 2 days later, it floated up dead, having drowned in the squall. In other parts of the country, that team of specialists might have responded quickly, but up north, it's not always easy.
In Alaska, most of our communities are not on the road system. And so if we're going to have a quick and effective response, it has to really be coming internally from those communities.
Take the humpback from last fall. If local responders had been on the scene, Good says the whale might have been freed before the storm, and it might have survived.
So hopefully we can get some individuals within Unalaska trained and ready to mobilize whenever we hear an occurrence of an entangled whale.
Until a local training session makes that possible, Good says anyone who sees a distressed whale should report it. And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.